So happy Sunday, everyone. Good to see you guys here. So, okay, so we'll go straight into it. We've had a week of since we've started the Roots prayer and fasting campaign. So last week, we had done repentance. And this week, we revealed the O, which is the first O, which is openness. I pray that your heart right now is in a place where you can really receive and really be open to the Lord, to one another, to each other. I mean, we're excited to go through the letters of Roots because just like what Janet said, like we are going through a lot of transitions. And I understand that it can be a time that's scary, that can be like uncertain. But I think of course, it's always like a good opportunity to hear from the Lord, but especially when you are desperate for the Lord, I think it is a really great time where we can go before the Lord in prayer and in fasting, especially with the Lent coming, Easter coming up, and if you guys are observing the Lent, it's a great way, I think, to really just be connected to the Lord in this time, in this season. I actually came across this thing on Instagram I wanted to share with you guys. It's really short. It says, I've come to think of church less as a place with answers and more as a place we go to sit together with the questions, holding them tenderly between us. And I really felt that's where we are at right now in THMCEM. Like, we are here together. We are holding each other very tenderly. We are caring for our needs because I know at the moment we do not have a pastor. But a pastor does not, you know, I think, like, in this moment, God is really pastoring us. And so I just pray that through not just a prayer, but just through fellowship, through our, like, community, you can really feel blessed and feel, like, richness of the Lord, like, physically. That's my prayer for you guys this week. So Julia will be sending an SMS text as a reminder on Monday for the word openness. So I hope you guys take the time to pray. By the way, if you have not signed up for the SMS, this is the SMS text. You will receive the Roots campaign. You will receive all the updates from the church. So to be included in our SMS, like text messages, we haven't posted this in a while, but I want you guys to take a picture or text this number. It's 1-855-606-2968. Text THMCEM on it and write your name on it too. So then we know like who that number belongs to. And once you're on our list, then Julia will send you guys reminders. And I'll go into the scripture reading. John 6:48-59. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to say this. Thank you for the praise team. Thank you for the media team in the back and sound engineer, Julia, and thank you for the leadership. Because, I think I mentioned that before. I feel like I deserted you guys. I mean, that's how I actually felt. But it wasn't, because God is faithful, and God is the one who leading you guys, right? It's not really pastor, I mean, you know. Of course, there's definitely responsibility and important role of pastor, but... I'm praying for you guys every day. So, you know, I have my, you guys in my heart. So I want you to know that. And God is leading this congregation. I have no doubt about that. And once again, I'm so honored to have Lord's Day together with you and sharing the message with you. Though I have limitation of communicating, English is my, life, you know, my mother tongue. So, but, you know, it is my joy to share with you. You guys excited too? Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to, you know, I chose this passage because the KM is doing a book of John, study of the book of John. And I thought I was going to preach last week. So I prepared like, you know, 2 weeks ago. But this is probably a message that we need to hear today. That's why, you know, I'm sharing this passage. About 10 years ago, my personal doctor, physician, family doctor told me I need to do exercise because I was borderline of taking medication of high blood pressure, cholesterol, and diabetes, all those kind of stuff, right? When you get old, you have to take those kind of medication. So I started to play table tennis twice a week. And I guess it worked. It helped. Last 10 years, I didn't take any medication. Isn't that amazing? So go out and play table tennis. And but recently, one of my friends, he's a former professional table tennis player, he fell while he played table tennis. So I thought to myself, wait a minute, if you exercise, you don't end up in hospital bad. He became unconscious. I was listening, he's going to die soon maybe. You know, I was like, really? And but he recovered. He fully recovered and came back to, you know, club and we play again table tennis. I learned something. I asked him, what made you fall? You know, he told me, you know, when you exercise, you got good appetite, right? So you tend to eat too much. So his blood became thick. Not only he eats, but he drinks a lot. That's why. So I realized eating is an important matter. So I want to ask you this question. What are you eating? Huh? What are you eating? I mean, spiritually, what are you eating? Let me share the background of today's passage. Book of John, chapter 6, Jesus performed the miracle. He fed 5,000 men with 5 bread and 2 fish. You know the story, right? When they experienced that, when the Israelites experienced that miracle, they wanted to make Jesus their king. So they can provide, you know, unlimited fish and bread, right? Knowing that, knowing their intention, Jesus withdrew himself from them. He went up to the mountain and stayed alone in prayer. But the crowd followed him. While he was in Capernaum, while he was in synagogue, they followed him. And this is the context. Jesus was teaching them this message. And let me read the passage. Oh, it's too small, right? Okay. Let me read verse 51. I am the living bread. That's what it says. I am the bread. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Imagine yourself, you are one of the crowd and you're sitting in the synagogue in Capernaum. When you hear this message, what could be your response? Okay, let me read one more time. I am the living bread. You guys want to have bread, right? That's why you follow me. Okay, I'm the living bread, came down from heaven. What? If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. What is he talking about? This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. They thought to themselves, wait a minute. Jesus, we know him. We know his parents. We know his brothers. How can he say he's coming from above? How dare him to say that? That's blasphemy. Not only that, he said, how can you eat? How can we eat him? How can you eat his flesh? What is it? What is his teaching? 52, Then Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? But when you look at verse 58, this is what Jesus said. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He's talking about eternal life. When you eat this, you live forever. But this crowd, they couldn't understand because they were living their life for this life only. When we aim our lives focused on this life only, you cannot understand spiritual things. Especially eternal life matters. You know what? I want to talk about eternal life today. I want to actually talk about, I want us to assess ourselves, where we are standing. I think this is a very important issue. Augustine, you know Augustine, right? You've heard of him, right? Augustine, he's a 4th century man. He's a brilliant guy. He's a genius, I think. He's a philosopher, he's a theologian. He summarized Christianity into three different stages. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. We go through this process. We get justified. Then through the sanctification part, process of sanctifying us, we finally will reach the place we call glorification. So I want you to kind of assess yourself where you are standing, okay? Justification. We have eternal life. We are justified when we feed ourselves with Jesus Christ. That's what justification means. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Unless you eat me and drink me, you have no life. But doesn't this sound familiar? Unless you eat the flesh, drink the blood. We use this, I mean, including myself, many pastors use this passage when they do communion, right? But is Jesus talking about communion? What do you think? No. He wasn't. Because communion, he taught communion before he was handed over to the Roman soldiers and be crucified, the day before he was handed over to the Roman soldier. And this communion is message to believers, but Jesus ministering to non-believers. And eating his flesh and drinking his blood, are you saying you can be saved by taking communion? No. That is contradict to his salvation teaching, right? So this is not communion. Then what is this? My former professor, Dr. Colin Brown, put it very nicely. This is what he said. John 6 is not about the Lord's Supper, but rather, Lord's Supper is about what is described in John 6. I think it's well described. Eating his body, I want to read this. I don't want you to miss this. Eating his body and drinking his blood means believing in Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross and gave all of his body and blood for us. No, for me, for you. And believe Jesus is the only way to be saved. That's what it means. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. See, eternal life. You're becoming justified. By what? Just look to the Son and believe in him. And I will raise him up to the last day. See, Jesus talks about eternal life here. You shall believe in him, shall have eternal life. And I will also raise him up at the last day. Similar passages mentioned in 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, again, and I will raise him up at the last day. See, eternal life, he's talking about eternal life, right? He's going to raise us at the last day. See? Once again, everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him is equal to whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Did you get that? Look. Simply look at the cross of Jesus Christ and believe that He is sacrificing for my sake. Then what? Then we have eternal life. Is it look difficult thing to do? Janet can look. We can look. You can look. Kids can look. Elderly person can look. Look is not, it's not a difficult thing to do. Yet people do not look. That's why they don't have eternal life. Remember in the Old Testament, people were bit by the snake. All they have to do is just go out and look the pole made by the bronze symbol of the snake. Just simply have to look, but people, that's a silly thing. How can you be saved just by just looking at it? This is unheard of. Yes, gospel is like that. Everything, our system is like, you gotta, in order for you to save, in order for you to go to heaven, you have to work. Come on, good work, good deeds. You gotta follow this ritual, regulations, all those kind of stuff. Every religion talks about those things. Yet, only the gospel, Evangelion, talks about, hey, just look and believe. Just eat my flesh and drink my blood. Then you have salvation. Many people do not understand this truth, this gospel. That's why they're just living miserable life, even though they're in the church. They're trying to earn their salvation by, work and work and work. At this point, you might think, why did Jesus use this horrific, descriptive image of eating and drinking His flesh and blood? One of the reasons was that the Israelites wanted Jesus to be their Messiah, kingly Messiah. But Jesus wasn't kingly Messiah. He was suffering Messiah, which is described in the Isaiah 53. He came. He was a Passover lamb for every humankind, not only for Israelites, every one of us. He came for every one of us. This passage, Hebrews 9, well-known passage, right? In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. We need forgiveness. Without shedding the blood of Christ, there's no forgiveness. And Christ shed His blood for our sake, to forgive us. I went to Mongolia many years ago. Their tradition, when the guests visited their town, they serve like a goat or animals. And I remember host handed me over the hammer and told me to kill the goat. I was like, what is this? But missiology 101, you have to respect their culture, their tradition. So I held the hammer. And he gave me the instruction, descriptive, detailed instruction. You have to look at the goat. You have to smash his forehead in between eyes. But you have to really smash the goat hard enough to kill at once. If you do it like this, he's going to be crazy. He's going to attack you, I was like, really? I was holding the hammer like this. I couldn't do it. Because I was looking at the goat. I thought, the goat was looking at me. It was difficult for me. And the horse was laughing, and he took the hammer away from me. I don't know if that's still traditional, or he made fun of me, or making a joke. I saw this poor goat is killed. It wasn't a beautiful picture. It wasn't. It wasn't beautiful at all. You know, we worship Jesus and wow, you know, sacrifice, you're going through the Lent and, you know, well, Passion Week and Good Friday and all that. It is not a beautiful picture at all. It is not. Horrific picture. But he sacrificed for us, for me, for you. By believing that, we became justified. Jesus said, I'm the living bread, so you can eat me. Do you know why some of us don't have appetite? Because we're not eating right food. We're not eating real food. We're not drinking real drink. That's what Jesus said, right, in 55. For my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Only Jesus can feed or meet your real hunger and quench your real thirst. For he is the real food and real drink. We have to eat him and drink him so that we can be saved. Simple as that. Where are you standing? Let me share the second part, sanctification. We need to feed ourselves with Jesus by faith. 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, I remain in him. That, you know, he's inviting us into the relationship. John 15 actually, you know, describes more detailedly in this matter. I abide in you, abide in my words abide in you. You know, that relationship. In Greek, it means present progressive, which means I keep feeding Jesus. I keep feeding Jesus. When you eat food, it becomes part of you, right? When we receive Jesus Christ and begin to believe in him, we become part of Jesus. Jesus becomes part of us. Therefore, if we keep feeding ourselves with Jesus, we're becoming more like Jesus Christ. Do you know Pastor, some of you guys know Pastor Lim, pastor of Living Way Community Church. His father recently passed away, Pastor Lim. He's Pastor Lim too. I went to his funeral service. He's one of the few guys, pastor, man, reminds of me Jesus a lot. You know, whenever I talk to him, whenever I like sit together with him and listen to him, and you know, oh my goodness, this guy is Jesus. He has 2 PhD degrees. He has 3 master's degrees. He never boasts about his degree. He worked for the Korean government because he was a nuclear scientist over like almost 30 years. The Korean government hired him. So he was working in Korea, and his family was in the U.S. One day, James' older brother, John, called him. And, Dad, I think it's time for you to come to, you know, join the family and live together with us. He took it as God's word. Because he was a man of word. He was keep meditating and receiving the word. So he came to America. He enrolled, you know, one of the seminary and became a pastor. After he became a pastor, he went to Florida. He started church, and church became very, you know, prosperous in a way. And he established, you know, church. He built a church, and God called him again. Hey, I think you should move to the mission field. He obeyed. He went to the mission field. And when he was in China, Domun was the city. It's a very tiny city, border of North Korea. He was serving Chinese students and Korean-Russian, 12 of them who came to China to study at the occupational school in China. He was ministering to 12 students. That was his job. This worldly known scholar, he was ministering to 12 of them, 12 of, you know, like Korean-Russian kids. I went there. And what I heard from Mrs. Lim, Samunim, she told me, Moksanim, pastor is, this is scheduled. Every morning he goes to early morning prayer. He spent time in prayer. He spent 5 hours a day, at least 5 hours a day, study the word, preparing the message for 12 students, this kid, this scholar, he is like spending hours and hours and hours to prepare the message for these children, 12 of them, 12 of God's children. And he was living in very like, small compartment. I was like, I saw Jesus actually in him. Wow, you know, like this guy is different level. And like, wow, this is God, you know. When I heard the news that he's passed away, first thought came into my mind was, hey, Missionary Lim, now with Jesus Christ, whom he so longed to see, whom he longed, I mean, he loved. Pastor Lim loved Jesus so much. I knew that. Now he's with Jesus Christ. He was man of word. You know, he was, once he was sinners, became a saint. Impact many people, including myself. God was sanctifying him. He allowed himself to be touched by the Holy Spirit. God was touching him through the word of the truth. My challenge or recommendation for you, be the man and woman of the word. Spend time. We have to eat. You know, you cannot survive just eating once a week, can you? There's no way. We gotta eat, constantly feeding ourselves with Jesus. Then Jesus will pop up. He comes out from us. My former professor, I had actually privilege to study under him, Dr. Dan Fuller, who is the son of Charles Fuller, founder of Fuller Theological Seminary. He was the only son of Charles Fuller. So he actually could inherit everything from Fuller Theological Seminary. Fuller was like second biggest seminary in the United States, rich, actually. Yet, you know, he said, oh, you know what, I'm a scholar, so I don't want to, you know, you guys take care of this. And I saw his life. His wife was driving Toyota Corolla, you know, the tiny car, very clean though. It's all model, very clean. He's always riding bicycle. And I saw him many times. He's like sitting on the corner and meditating Greek New Testament like this. Always meditating. I saw Jesus in him. He reminds me of this passage, Psalm 1:1, 2. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. The word of God will sanctify us. So spend time. I want to challenge you to spend time with the word of the Lord. Last point is glorification. We're not there yet, but true satisfaction comes when we feed ourselves with Jesus Christ. This is Matthew's account. This is Matthew described like this. They all ate and were satisfied. This is the miracle of feeding 5,000. And disciples picked up 12 basketful and broken pieces that were left over. They were satisfied. That's the word. True satisfaction comes when you feed ourselves with Jesus Christ. And this satisfaction is not only for this life, but life to come. Not only this life, but life to come. Do you know Elizabeth Elliot? Some of you read her book, Elizabeth Elliot. She was a wife of Jim Elliot, who got killed while serving the Lord in Ecuador. Remember the movie, The Spears? He's from Wheaton College. He died at a young age. Anyway, she remarried, Elizabeth is a great writer, Christian writer. She remarried to a guy, the professor at the seminary, and he died too. He died with cancer at a young age too. At the funeral, people were, how can this be? What kind of God is she serving? You know, all kind of, you know, like. She came to the funeral and she rebuked the people having the, you know, the sorrowful face. Don't you believe, servant of God? How can you say those kind of words? Don't you believe God is a living God? Don't you believe he's in control? I believe. Don't you have a resurrection hope? That was the challenge. Many people at the funeral took the challenge. Wow, yes. Do you truly believe eternal life? Do you truly believe there's heaven? I hope and pray that God may reveal this truth and assurance in your heart. Without his anointing, we cannot have assurance. People give their life. And last week, I was listening to one of the actually Korean, the Christian, you know, like broadcasting. Stephen Linton, he came out. I shared that with KM this morning. You know, his grandfather, who came to Korea like late 19th century, the average of their lifespan was 4 to 5 years. They were 20s. 18th century, average missionaries going to Africa, their lifespan, average lifespan was 3 years. But they were volunteer, waiting. They were waiting list. They've been waiting to go to mission field. They will die in three and, you know, within 5 years. How could they have that kind of, you know, determination? How can they have that kind of, you know, spirit? Yeah. Without having the assurance of salvation, assurance of eternal life, they can. I thought life is pretty long. It's not. You may say, Pastor Ken is old, so he may think that way. Life's really short. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want you to waste your life. This is what John Calvin said, how few are there who are satisfied with Christ alone. I want you to be the one of few truly satisfied in Christ. Nothing really matter. To be honest, nothing really matter. But the time I give to the Lord, getting to know him, and, you know, sharing his love, that really matter. You probably heard revival, the Asbury revival story, right, movement. Asbury University is one of the tiny schools. 1,600 people, 600 students in Kentucky, you know, like very, like, you know, like countryside kind of school. One day they had a, you know, regular chapel service, 10 o'clock Wednesday, they have church. But many of them felt like after chapel is over, they felt like God is telling them to stay and pray. So they began to pray. They began to pray for one another. They began to repent. And you know what happened? I mean, you probably heard the news, right? Some of them went to the classroom, they came back, and this continued, the worship continued, 24 hours, 48 hours, 15 straight days. When people heard the news, they joined them from even Europe. One thing I like about their revival meeting, they were ordinary kids, ordinary students, like us maybe, but they had a hunger for Jesus. God poured the Spirit upon them. And so I was like praying, Lord, let this revival, you know, movement spread whole entire nation. Please come to LA. Would you move to LA? We need revival. God is not impressed with numbers. One thing I learned over the years, God is not impressed about numbers, the wealth, fame, no. You matter to him. You matter to him. Each individual matter to him. And I hope and pray that you can give your life to Christ. That's something you cannot regret. No. Let's pray together. Father God, the gospel message is so simple. On the cross, you are telling us you matter to me. This is how much I love you. You spread your arms and you're crying out to the Lord, Father, I love you. And I love them, Father God. You gave everything for us. Lord, we are here today because you led us here today, Lord God. We thought we are believers because of our parents. We grew up in Christian family. That's not really it. You are personally inviting each one of us. That's why we are here today, Lord God. Lord, would you manifest yourself to all of us today, Lord God? Help us not miss the most important thing in this life, knowing you, Lord Jesus. Justification by faith. Yes, Father God, we are justified by believing Jesus Christ who shed the blood and gave himself for us on the cross. Lord, help us to hold on to the truth, that justification. And that's the start line, start point of becoming sanctified and be glorified in the future, Lord God. Help us not miss that truth, Lord Jesus, and bless us. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.